Revelation chapter 4 and go through the first two verses and summarize a little bit. We won't get into a whole lot of new material, but I want to, chapter 4 is such a perfect restart place, okay? And we'll talk about the way that the book is divided in just a minute, but folks, the rapture is about to happen in verse 1, okay? And so the church age, chapter 2 and 3, with the seven letters to the churches. By the way, the Bible is cohesive. And it's divine, not just in its content, it's divine in its makeup. And so many times people get off doctrinally simply because they ignore the chronological order of the Bible. Why do we have mid-tribbers? Why do we have people that think we're going to spend the first 3.5 years here on earth? When all of a sudden the church age is summarized in two chapters, and then the next verse says, after this, verse 1, I looked and behold, and a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, folks, listen, just the chronological order of the Bible. People are all mixed up. I would take the time to do this. But, you know, people go back to the book of Genesis, I think chapter 6, and they get into that, the sons of men saw the daughters of men. And next thing you know, there's fallen angels, you know, having relationships with humans. When, if you look at the previous two chapters, it gives the chronological order, the genealogy of first Cain and then Seth. And then the next verse talks about the sons of God and the daughters of men. And all of a sudden we're creating aliens. You know, if you just read the chronological order of the Bible, God is purposeful. And that's why the first three verses in the first three chapters in the book of Revelation is important. Okay, don't get caught up. By the way, if you're listening to Steve Anderson, stay away from him. Yeah. Who's Steve Anderson? Oh, I don't know who he is. Well, don't go to find out. You know, I just love these guys that come, you know, they're the smartest man in the room, and they've discovered something that the entire church has missed for the last, you know, 2,000 years, and they get this internet following. Okay, I mean it. Well, a lot of things he says is good. Yeah, I know. And rat poison is 99% good food. Okay, you know, and you can't get a build a church, so you got to build a following on the internet. That may be part of the problem, but anyway. And by the way, listen to your pastor. You start letting internet preachers pastor you, and you start ignoring your pastor, and you're going to take the word of some internet guy over the pastor God put you under. You better go back to your King James Holy Bible, okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, help us, dear God. There's so much that the devil unleashes on the church and on God's people, and we've got to be so careful. And so, Lord, we just want to rightly divide the word of God. So help us today, tonight, as we look real quickly tonight at these first couple of verses and are reminded of this amazing doctrine of the coming, soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Revelation chapter 1, if you want to just glance back there, verse number 17. Let's go to verse number 19. Verse number 19, Revelation 1, 19. Write the things which thou hast seen. That happened in chapter 1. Jesus appearing to John. Him seeing Jesus. And the things which are, that's the church age, chapter 2 and 3. And the things which shall be hereafter. Very interesting, the word hereafter. Remember that word, okay? Then we look in Revelation chapter 4. From chapter 4 all the way to chapter 22 are the things that shall be hereafter. And it begins with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't call it the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is covered in Revelation chapter 19. And the reason we don't call the rapture the second coming is he doesn't come all the way to earth. He comes to the clouds and receives us up into glory. And so that distinction needs to be made. In Revelation 19, he'll come back to the earth and set up his kingdom, okay? And so, several things. Let's look at this. The first phrase, after this I looked. Hey, folks, let's just stop and remind ourselves how important it is. Why did John see what he's about to see? Because he looked. And you know what? Let's be looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not forget. Looking for that blessed hope. Looking for it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 promises a crown that'll be presented. We're going to cover the Bema seat or the judgment seat next Wednesday night, Lord willing, because that happens in this chapter. And but there's a crown promised in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Now, for I am now ready to be offered. Time my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If you're looking for the appearing of Christ and loving the idea of the coming of Christ, I think Brother Chuck, he's just one of the Christians that I've been around that this is real to him. Amen. He told me, he said, you know what, I'll look up and see the clouds and think, Lord Jesus, is that the cloud you're going to come down on? He says a lot of times he'll walk out outside at the beginning of the day and look up to heaven and say, Jesus, if it's today, it'd sure be nice. And folks, listen, I want to live with that level of awareness, okay? A loving and a longing and a looking. So he says, after this, I looked. And then it talks about a door was opened in heaven. This is the third door mentioned in the book of the Revelation. There's the open door that God presented the church of Philadelphia. There's the closed door of the church of Laodicea. We could go back and preach those two things. I think God put before Blessed Hope Baptist Church an open door. And I think the reason the door gets closed with Jesus on the wrong side is a lot of times we wouldn't walk through the open door. And, you know, thank you, church. You've been amazing. But as God has led your pastor and burdened my heart about, you know, church planting and missions trips and different things that I think it was Jeff Skills one time that said to me, Pastor, I just can't wait to every January because I sit out here and say, what crazy thing is Pastor going to have us do this year, you know? I mean, who takes hospitality baskets to every single business within 20-mile circle of where we're standing right now? You know, I'm going to just say it. Who's put a map on the back and say, you know what, we're going to hit every door with God's help? I mean, you know, and the thing about it is, I see pastors that have tried to lead like that. But you know what? They'll get up, present the vision, present the challenge. This is what I think God wants us to do. Come on, let's go. And they take off, and a bunch of people sit there and just watch them. You know, let's not become that, Blessed Hope. Let's not become that, okay? Because, you know what? If God sets before us an open door, well, we better take advantage of it. Work, because there's the night's coming when no man can work. Preacher, we've been busy this year. Well, let me just tell you this. During our 49th year, we were busy. During our 48th year, we were busy. During our 47th year, for 50 years, we've been busy. You know, some of you'd be happy if I just came up with a theme one year. Okay, sit and do nothing. You'd say, well, it's about time. Well, you know, let's work till Jesus comes. Man, I want to push the envelope. You know, I know I had a meeting with the men when I turned 60, and, you know, I told them in that meeting, please don't leave here. And it's so funny because I said, please don't leave here and say, Pastor's got cancer, he must be sick or something. I may have had cancer when I was having the meeting, I don't know. But let me just say this. You know, sometimes when a pastor starts having the conversation about passing the baton eventually, you know, I don't want to be the lame duck president, second term president. Okay, your pastor hasn't lost his vision. And I believe that the next 4, 5, 6 years, whatever God gives me before we hand this thing off, maybe more than that, I don't know. Me and AJ's got to argue about that, you know. But whatever God does, I'm just telling you, I'm as excited about the future as I've ever been. And thank you, church, again. You know, a lot of churches could get up and say, hey, I want to bring, you know, have 17 people preaching in the tent meeting, bring all these kids back from all the country. And there's preachers that would try something like that in church and just look at them and say, well, I hope you're paying for it. Don't become that church. Okay? God's not going to give you the vision for this church and for the direction of this church. Okay, don't discount pastoral leadership and the importance of it. God leads through his man. And listen, I don't just come up here and just shoot off the hip. I promise you, if I come up here and I say, okay, folks, put your seatbelts on, you know, it is bathed in prayer. I wouldn't do it if I wasn't convinced God was behind it. And so, you know, let's keep that spirit. I didn't mean to spend that much time, but listen, there's a door open for a while down here. There's doors that are closing, churches that are closing the door and leaving Jesus outside. And then there's that door that's open in heaven. And I'm waiting for that one. And then he said the voice, he heard the voice as it were a trumpet. And how can we not just read this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. To sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm going to promise you, I can almost guarantee this is true. The person with the strongest faith in this church, this is true. There's been times where the devil's come to you and begin to question in your mind this whole doctrine of the rapture. Does it really mean that? I mean, is it really going to happen? You ever try to explain it to somebody that doesn't have a Christian background? They're looking at you like, you know, that group that put on the black Nike sneakers and went off into the, and committed suicide or something. Are you part of, you believe what? Well, folks, listen to me. For 120 years, Noah preached about rain and a worldwide flood. And guess what? Nobody believed it, but they believed it when the rain started. You know, I say to the world, you know, let the heathen rage and the wicked imagine a vain thing. You can say whatever you want. Well, I've heard that since I was a little boy. Well, God prophesied about you saying that. You just fulfilled prophecy. I don't want to be a doubter. I want to be a looker. Okay? I don't want to doubt one second. I want this to be real. I want it to be real in my life. Don't let the devil come and start whispering things in your ear. Preacher, it just seems so wild. It seems so crazy. It just seems so much like God. It seems so supernatural. It's exactly what our Creator, something sounds like to me, something our Creator God would do and plan. And wow. And then it says this, that he heard a voice talking with me. And I love that little phrase there. I think the voice calling us to Christ when the rapture comes. You say, well, he's going to say, come up hither. I think it's going to be very personal. I think I'm going to hear him call me to come. And I think you'll hear him call you to come. Right. You know, when he said, come up hither, and he said, you know what? I heard that as if he was talking to me. And I love that. I want the coming of Christ. By the way, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then here's the phrase that he hears. What does he hear? Come up hither. This is the doctrine of the rapture. The rapture is not, the word rapture, preacher, the word rapture is not even found in the Bible. Well, the word Bible's not found in the Bible. Stop trying to be the smartest man in the room again, okay? The doctrine of the rapture is found in the Bible. I've already mentioned this, but the rapture is not the second coming. The second coming is in Revelation 19. The reason we do not refer to the rapture as the second coming is because Christ doesn't come to earth. I've explained this, but he comes in the cloud and calls his children to him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And I think we're told right here what he's going to shout. I think it's very simple. Come up hither. And then, of course, Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. You remember the angels meeting with the apostles, 120 that's on Mount Olivet after Jesus ascends. And they're standing there looking up into heaven. And, you know, I think God had to tell some angels, would you go tell them to go do what I just said? You know, because, hey, I don't blame them. I'm not mad at them. If I was talking to Jesus, he lifted up and disappeared in the clouds, I'd be, you know, never saw that before. And the next thing you know, a couple angels are saying, hey, what are you doing? You know, hey, he's going to come back in like manner. Just how you saw him disappear, he's come back one of these days, reaffirming the doctrine of the rapture, okay? And then this little phrase we find there in that first verse, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, okay? And I've already talked to you about the book of Revelation being divided into three parts, the thing which thou hast seen, Revelation 1, things which are. And then we read in chapter 1, verse 19, the things which shall be hereafter. Okay, think about this. Here it is again. Come up hither, look at the end of verse 1, and I will show thee things which must be, when? Hereafter. Again, let the word of God define itself. Don't get caught up in nonsense. He said, I'm going to show you things that are, write the things you've seen, the things that are church age, and the things which shall be hereafter. And guess what? Right here in chapter 4, verse 1, we find the same exact word, hereafter. The hereafter starts right now. And so this is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse number 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, which sat on the throne. The rapture will happen, by the way, folks, at lightning speed. I used to preach a message across the country to teens called Zero to Eternity in a Heartbeat. And I'd preach that message the first night. And the second night, I'd preach a message entitled From Zero to Eternity in a Horn Blast. Because that's the one of the two ways eternity is going to start. Either you're going to go to from here to eternity in a heartbeat. And by the way, I studied that thing out. You know what, folks? The human heart, just think how quick a heartbeat is. And all of a sudden, that last one. Be absent from the body to be present with the Lord if you're saved. Be absent from the body to wake up your eyes, lift up your eyes in hell if you're not. One heartbeat, a lost person. A lost person is one heartbeat away from hell. One heartbeat away from hell. Well, for the Christian, we're a horn blast away from heaven. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go with the rapture than I would the other way. Isn't that awesome? This is how fast we could be out of here, folks. Listen, he said, and immediately I was in the Lord's day. I give this little spill every once in a while. We'll finish with this. But we read in the Bible the idea that Jesus Christ is going to come back in a moment, 1 Corinthians 15:51, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, there's the wink and the blink and the twink. Three portions of time to consider here. A wink is the controlled movement of your eye. Okay, so if you boys, you know, think you're going to impress a girl by winking at her, it's not involuntary. You plan it and you. And it can be, it's indeterminable. How long that takes, it all depends on how much effort you put into it, you know. You can do the slow motion wink. You do like the 5-second wink, you know, so they really know you're serious, you know. By the way, if a guy does that to you, pick up a songbook and just slap him in the face with it, all right? Knock him out! Knock him out! If your mom and dad get you in trouble, say, no, the preacher told me to. Preacher told me. There's a wink and then there's the blink. Now, a blink is a reflex action of the eye that lasts between 300 and 400 milliseconds. Okay? Most of us know that the blinking, you know what a blinking of the eye is. An involuntary blink only takes about 1/50th of a second. The average person blinks 25 times in a minute. I had no idea. That means during a 10-hour car trip traveling 55 miles an hour, a motorist will drive 33 miles with their eyes shut. That explains a lot of what's going on in I-70, you know. But think about this. The twinkling of an eye, it's a reflected particle of light seen in the eye and thusly travels at the speed of light. It's literally light bouncing off your eye, reflecting off your eye. And that happens at the speed of light. Think about this. The twinkling of an eye is 100,000 times faster than the blinking of an eye. It is the time it takes for light to glance off of a person's eyeball. What the Bible's teaching us is this, folks. When the rapture happens, it'll happen at the speed of light, and you're not going to have time to do anything about it.
Right.
Well, I'll wait till the last second. Well, it's not a second.
Right.
It's not a second, folks. Think about this. It's 100,000 times faster than the blink of an eye. Literally, Jesus, think about this, how appropriate. The light of the world will descend to the clouds with a shout. Call out the Christians who are left here to be the light of the world. Calls us out of this world at the speed of light. We will ascend to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 983 million feet per second. not miles per hour, feet per second. That's over 186,282 miles per second. We're going to be out of here. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for it. Listen to me. I'm longing for it. You know why? Preacher, how do you get to that point where you look for it and you long for it? Because I love the one that's coming. Okay? I'm so glad to see all of you tonight. I've missed you. I couldn't believe it when I couldn't come Sunday. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? I'm excited. I hope they're excited. And then I could count the hours till Wednesday. You know why? Because if you haven't seen somebody in a long time that you love, you want to see them. You want to see them. Some of you have family that lives away from here. When you finally get a chance to go see them or they get a chance to come see you, the whole family's excited. You know why? Because someone you love is coming. Listen, the reason we're not longing and looking is because we're not loving. You're so in love with this world and so not in love with Jesus that to some Christians, the doctrine of the rapture makes them uncomfortable. And if they were honest, down in their heart, they're saying, come on, are you there? Listen, I can't read your heart, but you need to be honest with God right now. Are you really at a point where you're wishing he wouldn't come? You're not excited about it? I say this. I think it's true. Some Christians are going to get raptured feet first. You know why? Because they're going to be clawing the ground trying to stay. That's why the Bible says, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Because if we fall in love with the world, we are not in love with Jesus. The love of the Father is not in him. Now, you go argue with me on that verse if you want to, but I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm not believing you. So when you love God and love Jesus Christ, it's easy to long for somebody you love. It's easy to look for somebody you love. Let's check where we are when it comes to our love. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us and such a blessing. Different service, unique service tonight. But Lord, I think what happened is exactly what you wanted. And so, Lord, we ask, dear God, that you speak in this brief time. Help us not to just rush in our mind and hearts to the next thing. And I'm looking forward to the next thing. But Lord, let's not let the ravens of hell snatch the seed off the ground before it has a chance to take root. I pray this is a message that would affect us maybe in the invitation and maybe even throughout the rest of this week, dear God, where we really contemplate where we've heard. John was looking because he loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. He missed him. He missed him. Chapter 1 had to be so thrilling for John because he got to see the one that he longed for. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, dear God. I can't help but think about Jesus, your conversation with Peter. Have Peter get in such a mess in John chapter 21. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? May we answer that question tonight.